You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. Welcome to our Week 12 Sunday Night Football Chicago Bears postgame show. As our Bears, well, I was going to say laid a goose egg, but they did score points, but emotionally laid a goose egg as they lost to the Green Bay Packers 41-25, and a game wasn't even nearly as close as that final score. I'm Russell DeWitt. Tonight, I'm joined by my usual suspect, co-host Nicholas Moriano. Nick, right before we went live and during the two-minute warning, we're getting some snow here tonight, and I looked outside, and I forgot to take a few things off my deck, so I stepped outside to get it. Didn't realize it's, like, starting to sleet rain, and I got some wet socks, and honestly, that may have been the highlight of my night. Wet socks is usually things that gross me out, but it was better than the Bears game, which is saying something.
No, absolutely. Well, doing anything but watching the Bears would have been would have been a better option, to be completely honest. I remember just playing with my puppy, who's wearing his little Bears collar, little like neck collar thingy, and I just took it right off him. He doesn't deserve that. So it was rough, Will, but we'll talk about it. But I think we'll talk about other things in this post game show. It's not your traditional one because this game doesn't warrant us really going in depth about it. We talked about that even as the game was going on. So let's just get it over with.
Let's just rip it off like a bandaid. Yeah, I don't know about you, Nick, but my note-taking stopped about midway through the second quarter, give or take. I was like, at this point, I think we know the story, and anything from that point did not matter whatsoever. But let's go ahead and jump into the first quarter of our post-game show here. And, Nick, just how are you feeling? I feel like I need to check in on you and your emotional state of mind right now, because if you're anywhere like me and like a lot of our listeners, you're probably in a deep, dark, scary place.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think at first that's what it was like. I was really frustrated and just angry watching this football team, but then it almost became hysterical in a way, just seeing them do what they did and just losing 41-25 on national television to their division bitter rival, the greatest rivalry in sports, whatever people want to say. And so I think, you know, just kind of going through the game, we kind of knew, well, we both predicted the Bears would lose this game. We didn't think it would be this in a blowout fashion. So, and seeing some of the things happen, it wasn't really a surprise. And I think that's the most sad thing, that you see a Trubisky fumble get returned for a touchdown, interceptions, bad play, the defense not showing up was a little surprising, but it's the Packers. It's on prime time. It's a blowout loss. We've sung this song many, many, many times, Will, and I'm okay. I'm fine. We're going to talk about this, but it's sad that I'm just used to it. And that's why I think I'm so, I guess I'm just not, I'm not even numb to it, because I know what this feeling is like, and a lot of Bears fans do. And that's the sad part about this whole situation. And I think I was just tweeting during the game, Will, like, for the future. What's going to happen for the future? Like, I think this is like one of those statement losses where I think something needs to happen. We might get into that later, but how are you feeling about this? Again, 41-25 national television game.
I'm pulling my inner Virginia McCaskey, and I feel pissed off right now. Honestly, Nick, again, we did not expect a win, but how it unfolded, how the defense from the very first drive was just picked apart, was disheartening. And the fact that they couldn't find any counter to it whatsoever was something that really kind of got to me. Usually these games have been closer over the last few years, but not today. It didn't matter. I mean, we know if any opponent's putting up more than 20 on us, we can already kind of write that check. We know how that game's going. The fact that they gave up over 40, there's just no way in hell. I don't care who's playing quarterback. I don't care who's calling plays. You're not going to find any way to win this game. And unfortunately, the Bears just had no answer for Aaron Rodgers. And like you, Nick, I did some reflecting. It looked like you were doing more projecting, looking at the future. And I was just reflecting because, like, early podcast years, I'd get on here and we'd find a positive in here. And, I mean, that was during the rebuild phase. And then things kind of happened in 2018. And I was looking at old tweets from that season earlier today just because I was trying to find some of that joy again. Like, what was it like covering this team during a fun year? And that was nice for a little nostalgia. And then last year's frustration, and then what's kind of mounting now on top of it, I mean, it's starting to take a toll. I just feel like I'm becoming, you know, I'm disgruntled. I feel salty. And on top of that, too, I just feel like I'm a sourpuss on here sometimes now. And obviously, I'd like to smile. I like to find positive things about the Bears. But the trajectory of this team, the trajectory of this franchise, it's not good. And how I saw this team give up, something that we rarely have seen really over the years of covering this team, is something that I think looms large and speaks volumes of just the lack of effort from this defense. And we've talked about it. There's going to come a point when they're probably just going to give up. And I think we saw some of that here today. And I know that all season we've been, you know, patting the defense on the back and, you know, being pretty strong and vocal against this offense. But today's a game where it's a complete team effort where you can point the finger anywhere, and I think it's warranted. So, yeah, Nick, very, very aggravated would be the PG way of expressing how I feel right now. But as we kind of go through this first quarter, again, I don't know if we're going to have a long actual post-game show. But, Nick, for my Miller Lite Monster moment, you already mentioned it in your little quick rundown. It's going to be the Trubisky fumble touchdown. It was right after the interception, which, of course, Green Bay answered with a touchdown. So you're looking at a 20-3 deficit. You got to find some points, and unfortunately we gave them to Green Bay with Mitch taking that sack on third down. The play prior, of course, he ran out of bounds for negative yardage instead of throwing it away, and then he ended up getting a sack fumble, and they take it to the house. Makes it a 27-3 game, and of course this is an outcome where I guess at this point of the game you just kind of knew it was over. So from that point on, I stopped taking my notes. It's my monster moment because it's probably the biggest play in this game, but also anything after, I don't have it written down. But how about you? Do you have a different monster moment?
So I was going to go with that, Will, but I'm glad you took that one because I went back to the Bears' first drive of the game, and I'm going back to that Allen Robinson drop touchdown pass that was perfectly placed by Mitchell Trubisky. Look, the Packers go, they have a pretty effortless drive down the field to score a touchdown against the Bears. They miss extra point. And then the Bears bounce back. That 57-yard run by David Montgomery puts him in a perfect position. And Mitchell Trubisky put in a perfect ball to Allen Robinson. That 50-50 ball that he has struggled with all season to come down with. He doesn't come down with the ball. The Bears have to settle for a field goal. No, the game's not over. It's 6-3 at that point, right? Cairo Santos makes a field goal as he always does because he's a great field goal kicker. But you know, that's a ball in prime time you have to catch. This is the Bears-Packers rivalry. This is a team desperate for a win on a four-game, now five-game losing streak. You don't come down with that ball. He wants to get paid so much money. On the previous podcast, Will, we talked about moves that we would want to make if we were GM, and I said I wanted to extend Allen Robinson. I said that. And you know what? Like, I see the things that he does, but those plays that he's supposed to make, being paid to be one of the better wide receivers, he didn't make it. He hasn't made a lot of those 50-50 balls. So I'm going to that play. And look, Allen Robinson is more a part of the solution than he is the problem. I understand that. But it is frustrating to see a guy that is frustrated with his contract negotiation not come down with that ball. And it could have been a completely different game. You had the lead by 1 point given. And maybe this pass rush that had, well, zero hits and zero sacks all game could have done something. Who knows? But I'll go to that one. I'm glad you took the Trubisky, you know, fumble, which really shouldn't have happened. Well, I mean, there's two face masks on the play. Like, if there wasn't any bias, that play shows it right then and there. But that would be my monster moment of the game right there. Allen Robinson dropping the touchdown pass.
Yeah, it's you said it. We've been singing that song. I feel like it's been, well, it has been multiple post-game shows when we're talking about a big Allen Robinson drop in a 50-50 ball that he should be catching. And if he wants to get paid, you have to make those. But yeah, that's not helping his negotiations. I didn't see any tweets from his agent after that play. And also, on top of that, Allen Robinson was getting a lot of red zone targets today, which is interesting. It's almost like they saw the tweet the Bears did and like, okay, we need to quiet up this agent. And they said, just throw it to him.
Yeah, and he, oh man, if there's any good that came out of this game, this is selfish on my part. My fantasy team did so well with David Montgomery and Allen Robinson. They did something, so thank goodness I'm still in the running for maybe a playoff spot. But that's the only thing, the only good that came out of this game.
And we have to find some solace somewhere. But Nick, of course, that was our monster moment brought to you by Miller Lite. And right now, with all the social distancing happening, I was going to say soaking in this Bears game with friends over a beer may look a little different than in the past. But as the original light beer, Miller Lite has always been there to bring people together through Miller time. And of course, Miller Lite is the only beer of the Chicago Bears. Miller Lite, they have had a long-term partnership with the Bears. It's been a staple in Soldier Fields for decades. Nick, you and I have so many great memories toasting touchdowns. What time to be alive when we can actually toast touchdowns with Miller Lights with our friends at Soldier Field during home games. And so here's to the Bears. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. No matter where you're watching the game, it's always Miller time in Chicago. Pick up Miller Lite for your game day need. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All righty. You're listening to the Chicago Audible podcast. This is our Bears-Packers postgame show. I'm Miroslav DeWitt. Joined with me is my co-host Nicholas Moriano, and we're two non-happy campers, as you should expect here right now. And Nick, I wanted to mention a standout stat before we actually get into the second quarter of our show, and I think you hit on it. Again, you're just gonna expedite this show by doing so. But zero hits the Bears had on Aaron Rodgers. No sacks, of course. If you can't hit him, you can't sack him. And the pressures, I think they saw eight. I thought that was generous, to say the least, but I think that just shows the lack of pass rush that the Bears had tonight. Aaron Rodgers had all day to throw, whether it be just rushing three on third down in the red zone, because why not give Aaron Rodgers all the time in the world to find someone near the end zone? That makes sense. Or if they were rushing four or more, unable to hit home, and Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, so much money put in that position, zero results today. You look pissed as soon as I said that, huh?
Yeah, I was just like, where are Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn? I think I tweeted that Robert Quinn made a tackle. It was already the third quarter. The game was over. Like, hey, he does exist, which is great. I mean, the other 94 that was here previous to Robert Quinn, Leonard Floyd, he showed up for the games against the Packers. Robert Quinn is such – he's good at what he does. He steals money from organizations that he stole a bunch from the Bears. And we'll talk about the defense later, but I just had to – put my two cents there, because those edge rushers for the Bears, no matter who was there, non-existent.
No, none whatsoever. Is there any other stats? I mean, for me, I guess that's how lopsided early on in this game time of possession was. The first quarter, the Bears had the ball for 2 minutes, which, granted, the big play from David Montgomery helps, and you got points. Awesome. So he didn't need a lot of time, but the defense is unable to get off the field, unable to stop Green Bay on third down early on. Or even worse, there's a huge stretch when Green Bay had multiple back-to-back. Well, they had back-to-back-to-back touchdown drives. But the second and the third, where I think they faced like two third downs out of like 16, 17 plays. So they weren't even getting forced into some of those situations to potentially get off the field. So I think time of possession may be another one as well. I don't know if you want to throw any other stats. I think this is a game that's beyond stats, but I will give you the opportunity if so.
No, well, I'm just checking right now. Okay, so, yeah, David Montgomery. If there is a plus, David Montgomery was definitely a plus in this game. First 100-yard rushing game of this season for the Bears. And, you know, obviously they have not had success in the run game all season, and even last year as well. And previous to that, if you want to go to 2018, it wasn't that good. The stats maybe overshadow how productive it was, but 11 carries, 103 yards. Obviously, the 57-yard rushing play that happened in that first drive was great to see. He ends up getting a receiving touchdown as well later in this game, but just finally breaking 100 yards. The Bears, I think, there were times where you're like, okay, there's actually some blocking in place. David Montgomery's actually not getting hit 2 yards in the backfield and having to work for a yard, which was nice to see, but look, that's a it's overshadowed because of what this game really looked like, but just need to put that out there.
I think we have multiple Don Burrs in the chat, so you know it's
Don
a bad
Burr
night.
Can't talk anything because didn't this Detroit Lions team not score a single point against Carolina and they had their backup quarterback? Like, the Detroit Lions are trash. So Don Burr, just stop. And that, if for anyone who's listening, that's just some troll in on YouTube who loves his Lions, which are a crap. They're a worse organization than the Bears. I'm not gonna go on this rant, but shush.
You're not, but you kind of did. You dipped your toe into it, which is fine. I'm here for it. We usually do play pretty nice here. But Nick, we can move into the second quarter here and talk about this Bears offense. They did reshuffle the offensive line again, moving Cody Whitehair to left guard, Sam Mustafa at center, Alex Barnes at right guard, and then you moved out of Fetty to right tackle, which is where he's played prior to coming to the Bears this season in Seattle. And I thought those adjustments, again, I'm not trying to make us have huge, deep, in-depth discussions what happened, but I thought that was a move that did have positive results, going back to what you just mentioned from what we saw out of David Montgomery today and just the general push that we saw from this unit. I thought Cody Whitehair playing guard, he looked much more proficient as an offensive lineman compared to what we've seen at center this year.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, Will. I think just with, I don't know if it's just Cody Whitehair, just the year in general, it seemed like there was just too much on his plate to, one, diagnose what guys are coming and then having to make the calls on the offensive line. But moving him over, I think I just settled things down for him a little bit, and just playing in the interior, obviously we'll do things like that. But I think the biggest problem, Will, and this is why I was looking like more to next season, is like those tackles. And obviously Jermaine Ifedi going out to play right tackle, he hasn't played that all season for the Bears, and this was a move made because of injuries and things like that. But even Charles Leno Jr., who I don't want to say he's been stable for the Bears, but constantly all night, Will, just being bullied. And I tweeted, like, he's being bullied, you know, this tonight, but everyone was tweeting at me, no, no, Nick, he's been bullied all season. Like, yes, both are true, but tonight he was really being bullied, and all season that is also true. So, yeah, the offensive line, I think, you know, blocking-wise, run blocking did look a little bit better, but there were still many plays you can look at the same problems just occurring.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously that's why the tackles were my X factor tonight. I did have, and even though I thought it was going to be, you know, Coward or Spriggs, I never even thought that we were going to actually slide Ifedi out there. That wasn't really talked about until that point. But yeah, they were controlled. Leno Jr. specifically was a little bit overwhelmed by both Smiths tonight, and they also brought in the Gary guy as well, as I mentioned. So we don't need to get into that. What did you think about, let's talk about early on, Mitch and Bill Lazor and what they're trying to do in offense, because before the game kind of got completely out of hand, I liked it. You start the game off with a quick snap. You get up there to the line, don't even get into a cadence. You just snap it and go. You follow it up with a huge hole, get a big run. Trubisky's making some good decisions in the red zone. I was like, you know what? We may have an interesting game at our hands, or at least an interesting offensive attack. What did you see early on? Because I think what we saw from all the struggles after the fact, whether it be the Mitch turnover, the interception, which is a terrible ball, bad decision, the fumble, the other interception, all bad. I don't want to harp on all the bad right now, but I do think, of course, you're trying to play catch up. You're down by a lot, and you have to try to do something. So what did you see early on, and is it anything you think the Bears can potentially build off of?
You know, I thought, like, when you look at how the Bears started their first two drives, it was off play action. It was, even though the Bears only gained 3 yards on the very first play, it was a play action pass to Allen Robinson. Great. You do that, and then you have the 57-yard to David Montgomery. The second drive, play action again, but this is to Kmet for 8 yards. It's really just extending the pocket a little bit. And look, why Mitch has had struggles is that he has to read a full field. But when you do that play action, it limits his options, cuts it in half, and he can make more of those precise throws and not have to really think about where he's going to go with the ball. So I think that's what they were doing well. And you said it, like, kind of using his legs to extend plays and even get first downs running. That's where Trubisky has some value. But I mean, Will, I started tweeting it out, especially when the plays kept happening. We saw the same old Trubisky. And you know, before I go there, I mean, like, even on the first drive though, the pass to Cole Kmet that was dropped, I thought that was good placement and good decision. Like, he said when he was a scout team quarterback that he was trying different throws. I thought that was maybe a throw that he was trying that you normally wouldn't have seen, just giving his guy a chance, throwing it. He's not entirely open, but where the ball placement is, he is open. And then same thing with Allen Robinson, just giving him a chance. But outside of that, well, then you go into all the bad. Messing up in an RPO, the ball ends up on the ground. Come on. This is you're far into your career now to where that can't be the same. You can't keep making that same mistake. Throwing into triple coverage, Will, when Allen Robinson's coming open underneath. He is. But Trubisky has this tendency, and why he ultimately is a bust, he picks where he's going to throw, and that's it. That's where he's throwing the ball. It doesn't matter if you're open. That's his first read. He's gonna give you a chance, right? Air quotes there, but just the same mistakes were occurring, and the same guy that wanted to try different throws, that was, you know, the same guy that was benched in week 3, the same guy that came out to the Bears, or again in this game in week 12, which is very unfortunate for Bears fans, but that's the reality of the situation. They don't have an answer at quarterback because Trubisky, Nick Foles, whoever it is, they're just not the guy.
No, they're not. And again, were we hoping that Mitch could provide a spark? Yes. And I do think we saw the offense look different in terms of what they were trying to do with Mitch, which, again, I don't think Bill Lazor is not the answer either as a play caller, probably as an offensive coordinator. But I was, at least early on, slightly excited seeing some of the differences in how they were approaching this offense compared to what we have all season, which has not been yielding any results. And it was kind of like a fresh, a breath of fresh air until the defense, which we'll talk about, didn't hold up their end of the bargain today, which gave this offense zero shot. Because, again, you got to keep teams at least moderately scoring, low scoring. We know that. Unfortunately, that's the case. Anything else that you want to mention about this offense in general? Again, we don't need to talk about specific plays, specific drives. I don't think we need to get into any of that today. Darnell Mooney had a good game. Of course, he was awesome, but he had a good game, but he was open a lot. I want to see the all-22. Was he getting himself open? Were they just playing off of him? I'd be curious about that, but at least he had some decent production today as well. But how about you, Nick? Anything on offense you want to talk about, or just, you know, rip off the Band-Aid and start griping?
Yeah, I mean, we could gripe all day, well, honestly, but we'd be here all day, which is not the goal of this podcast. But I do, like, Darnell Mooney was a guy that I wanted to highlight. And, look, he only had 3 receptions for 34 yards, but there was a holding penalty on Charles Leno Jr., a guy they were just talking about that would have been a first down for the Bears, kept the offense on the field, but that didn't happen. That led ultimately to the fumble by Trubisky that gets returned for a touchdown. But he's a playmaker. If you put Darnell Mooney in any other offense, he's going to produce, except for the Jets. I always say that in this podcast, but except for the Jets, he would produce. And, you know, that's, I think, when I'm looking, again, what I was doing during the game, future goal, like future, just what's ahead for the Bears, that's a guy that you want on your team. That's a deep shot waiting to happen if you have a right quarterback that can actually connect on the throw, or just a good route runner. That's what Darnell Mooney provides for an offense, and I'm excited for him. I really am, because I think there are going to be some big changes here in the near future, and I can't wait to see what he can do in a competent offense, competent play caller, and with a competent quarterback.
You know, I think he had a strong start to the game, because when I switch tabs here in my browser and you see 3 catches for 34 yards on 9 targets, it's not a lot of bang for your buck. But again, that's quarterback play. That's just throwing it over there as well. I don't know, Nick. Is there anything else? I mean, this offense was very much everything that we'd expect. Again, early on, different wrinkles, cool. But then you get behind, and you know they can't play catch-up until it's the fourth quarter. You're down by a lot. Teams play off. And then you can dunk your way downfield with some 7-yard passes. Tony Dungy gives you some backhanded compliments to make you really hate life. And here we are doing a post-game show. I don't know if there's anything more. If you want to talk about at all with them, obviously there's nothing new here. It's a lot of the same old stuff every single week with this bunch for the most part. But I don't know. I'm at a loss where to take the conversation. So usually I feel pretty good about that. But this is one of those games, one of those weeks where it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think what's so frustrating is that this game was out of hand really early on, right? I mean, Green Bay scored 21 in the third quarter and already had 6 in the first. So the Bears were down. So whatever you're seeing production-wise, is it actually what would be happening if this game was relatively close, a one-score game, two-score, whatever? So, like, you see the yards, and Trubisky put up 242 with 3 touchdowns, right? And he had 46 attempts. Like, everything that we're seeing and all these fantasy points that I got, like, this, there's no value in this. Like, Matt Nagy's talked about that before. It was against the Saints last year where the Bears were scoring some points. Like, and a reporter asked him, like, do you have value in that? No. Like, we don't have any value in any of this because that's not what the Packers would be doing. They're not a good defense, but still, it's like none of this that we can take moving forward, and I don't even think it really matters because everything is broken. But I think there was a comment that I do want to comment on. Tony Dungy said, like, the Bears do a little bit of everything. They're like a menu that has all these different things, but they don't have one thing well. And then I immediately thought, like, they're like a restaurant that literally doesn't have a menu. They're like, there is nothing to choose from because that's what the Bears offense is. There's no go-to. There's no signature dish. There's nothing that you could say, oh, the Bears are going to run this to get that first down because this is what they do best. No, they don't have that. They don't have any of that every other offense in the league has. And this is now Nagy's third year. And that's what's so frustrating about all of this is that we still don't know, Will, the identity or what the Bears even like to do. They just go out there and call plays and just hope for the best. And that's honestly what the Bears offense is, and that's why it produces the results that it has.
I think the more damning statement in there is they don't know their identity. They don't know what they can do well, and they've been trying to figure that out. That's the every single week. We're going to go back to the drawing board, do some self-scouting, and figure it out. And they obviously can't do that every week, and they're not finding any success. So, yeah, Nick, as much as we would love to know the identity of this offense, I think more importantly, they should know, and unfortunately, they do not. So it's a huge issue that, fortunately, unfortunately, may have some changes from the top down that maybe could help them find some answers, hopefully sooner rather than later. I know one Matt is out in the NFC North as head coach. I don't know if we need to start talking about the other one here on the show, but, I mean, you start looking at the results, and then when you see teams give up like they did tonight, it really starts to creep into your head. And I know we try not to get too far into that speculation. Nick, can I rip off a Band-Aid real quick? Burning question. Do you want Matt Nagy gone?
I think I do. I've seen enough. I've seen enough of this offense. I've seen enough of this team to where one 2018 spectacular season that was led by your defense doesn't warrant. And a coach of the year, he got coach of the year because of his fantastic Vic Fangio-led defense. Matt Nagy hasn't done anything to help Chicago become a competitor. Why keep him around? I want things to change. And I think there was a question I posed last week. Does Matt Nagy make this team better, Will? I'll throw that question to you.
Not this year. 2018, yes. This year, no. Last year, no. So that's 2 out of 3 for no. I was thinking about 2018. We talked about the reflecting earlier. What if, and this is a big what if, I mean, everyone wanted John Fox gone. What if he stayed? You brought in Matt Nagy for offensive coordinator. You may have the same season.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, I think it all just kind of goes back to him. And I don't know if maybe if this role was too much. And look, I think it's a daunting task and position to take over like the Bears head coaching position and try to establish an offense here because it's never been really done. I think it would have been a failure too. So it may just be the person and whoever is next. It could be a very similar, I guess, outcome. But yeah, I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's not where I wanted to be here at the end of November this season, especially after a 5-1 start. We were riding the high, and we knew it was going to come back to earth, but I think we fell through earth, and we're now in back to Bears hell. It's happened quick. 5 straight down the tube, and here we are. I mean, I'm again, it's like the holiday time. I'm doing Christmas decorations around the house. And today, earlier, like, I didn't even want to, like, watch some of the other games because if I got myself in football mode too soon, I knew it was like, you know, start looking at the game ahead, and I didn't want to do that. And I'm glad I didn't waste my whole day on that.
No, that's a good point. Well, like, I had a my green Bears jacket that I was going to wear on the show. But after this, I'm like, no, I'm not going to wear that. And I have something coming in. It's delayed a little bit through FedEx, but I'm going to return it. It's Bears, like, sweater, and there's no reason. There's no reason. Like, I'm at that point, Will, where I'm so fed up watching this team, seeing the results, and especially with this. Like, nope. That it's great sweater. I bet you it's warm, too, and comfy. I'm not going to put it on. I'm just going to put it right back in the box. Goodbye.
Return to sender. And you're in sayonara. I mean, it's one of those two. Like, every year around this time, I make a nice little wish list of, like, things I want for me, things I want for the kid. And it's like, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm embarrassed of wasting money on some of those items right now. I have a, you know, IU football team that's borderline top 10 in the country. I got to start supporting that here while I can. So the world is interesting. Yin yang, things like to balance out. I get a good year for IU football and the Bears have to totally implode something that seemed kind of promising for a little bit of time. Nick, I'm going to officially move us into the third quarter of this postgame show. And when it comes to the defense, what the heck was that?
I wish I knew, Will. I really wish I knew. It just seems so effortless by the Packers, whatever they wanted to do. And I think the Bears saw, the national audience saw what the Bears defense is without Akeem Hicks, honestly, because there were some runs just even on that first drive and throughout the game where you're like, man, do the Packers, one, even call this play because number 96 is in the game, and two, how many yards would they actually get if Akeem Hicks is playing? Because he was dominating last year and he had one arm. He had one arm, Will. So I think this game, you know, is a little different with Akeem Hicks, but that's one part of it. And I think we spied it early on. We were both tweeting about it. Like, Buster Screen being on Davante Adams for one too many plays, and it could have been worse if Davante Adams doesn't slip on that slant route, which he completely beat Buster Screen on. He probably walks in for a touchdown, honestly. But there was just so many things where I look at it, it was just too easy. And I know the Packers are a great offense, scoring over 30 points a game. But this is a Bears defense, number one, the red zone, things that, third down, they can get off the field. No, not against Aaron Rodgers. They didn't even come close to number 12. And there was a lot of barking by, like, Kyle Fuller, and he was kind of getting into people. I'm like, man, your team is not – I know you got to have that swag, that confidence, but, like, your guys are getting dominated right now. Just stop. Just try to get off the field, and then maybe you can talk some trash. But that wasn't happening.
Yeah, let's see. The Bears didn't even get off the field on defense unless it was a touchdown. They can get off the field if they surrender a touchdown until the very last drive at the half when Green Bay had the ball for 19 seconds and they ran it. So that was it. Every other time, though, you have 14 plays, 75 yards, 9 plays, 75 yards, 13 plays, 80 yards. And I saw a longtime moderator, really good friend Tristan in the chat, saying, I think the defense was just fed up. Yeah, but if they're fed up, this is what I would expect in the second half. They were just beaten today from the jump. Chuck Pagano was outmanned, outplayed in his chess match from the beginning. Again, I don't like some of the decisions, whether it's just having a three-man rush. No, you can't do that against Aaron Rodgers. You have to put pressure on him. You have to find ways to get pressure. And Aaron Rodgers, too, had himself a field day against this defense, whether it be knowing what they're throwing at him or just having all day to pick them apart. Again, only like what, a few incompletions? I think maybe it's like 6. I don't have it in front of me, but it wasn't a lot.
21 for 29, 211 yards, 4 touchdowns. Like, it was just, it felt like a lot more. Like, when you look at the yardage and just the attempts, it feels like a lot more, but he was so efficient and knew where to go and just where to place the ball that he honestly picked apart the Bears defense. There wasn't any pass rush like you were saying. And again, like, when you have the interior not collapse on Aaron Rodgers and there's nothing collapsing on the edges, and it's Aaron Rodgers, like, he's going to pick you apart. Like, what were the Bears even thinking when they want? Did you here, Will? Did you see a linebacker blitz? Like, did Roquan Smith ever blitz? Did Dan Trevathan? Like, I don't know if I even saw that, or maybe I wasn't paying attention. I saw it
a couple of times. Okay. Too late. But even when you do those, if those don't hit home, you're so exposed. Because they, if that happens and you're playing man how you were, it's just you're asking for a big play. And what I think the Bears were trying to do was keep everything in front of them and limit the big play. The unfortunate part was Green Bay was just like one step ahead. They didn't need the big play today. They just needed to get 4 yards and they get 6. And then they would need to get 5 yards and they get 7. It didn't matter. They would just pick them apart all day long. Again, they're on the field for 7.5 minutes, another 6, another 8, and then later on another 5-minute drive. It was just, I felt like every time I looked up, it was the Bears' offense off the field. Before the kid went to bed, he was like, the Bears have only had the ball twice in this half. I'm like, yeah, it's been a long day of watching Aaron Rodgers, son, and I don't like this any more than you do. And he even asked me, too, before we went to bed, he's like, this is a rivalry game? I'm like, yes. He's like, didn't feel like it, and he's 7, and he knows this. It's sad. It's hard to teach a kid about the rivalry when you watch the current Bears-Packers because it's been so lopsided, one-sided. But, yes, Nick, Davante Adams on Buster's screen, not a good idea. Somehow putting Danny Trevathan on him, another bad idea. And then you get to the point where maybe we'll just have both of them cover him. We don't need safety help. We'll just have Buster Screen and Danny Trevathan do it. Also not a great idea. Where I think, I don't even know if it's, you can blame Chuck Pagano and 100% put the blame on him, right, for this one. But you also have to give the Packers credit because they lined up in correct formations. They were putting themselves in these matchups. And that's a testament to them for knowing what the Bears like to do, what the Bears are going, how they're going to attack that offense and just counter it. Whether it be the multiple rub routes with like a million crossing routes and you just get the one guy free because you don't have any pass rush. So all you have to do is wait for one option to finally break free. Or if it is just finding a way to get Adams and some of the other playmakers in space and with those good matchups. And Nick, I know in the preview show you said, you know, watch out for, it's always Bears Packers where some of these smaller guys will come up with some big plays, and you saw them from Lazard, Tonyan, St. Brown, guys that have not been involved in this offense rarely this season for Green Bay besides sporadically. And of course they all have pretty decent games, big plays when it matters types of moments. And just like no matter what the Bears wanted to do, it wasn't going to work. And whatever the Green Bay was willing to impose on this defense, they can do it all day long.
Yeah, well, and I think what the Packers were, look, credit to them, they saw Buster Screen and Danny Trevathan as their weakest links in coverage. And you know what they did, Will? They kept trying to target those guys, try to get them in situations or plays where it would put them in a position to try to actually make a play but fail to actually execute it effectively. And look, the Packers capitalized on it. That's what a good offense does. That's what a good coach will do, scheming for the week heading into the game. And then what a good quarterback will do when it's time to execute the play. They will look at those weaknesses on a defense, and every single defense has one or two or whatever it may be, and they'll exploit it. That's just something, well, it's like almost foreign to see, because what the Bears offense can't do is all the things I just said, but that's what the Packers and what makes them far and above a better football team that the Bears have been in the past 10 years. So they can execute those plays and become efficient on offense, and that's what they did tonight. And you know, you got to give credit for doing so, but it's common sense. It's like things that, you know, any team would want, should do, and they just do it far, far better than the Bears ever will.
Did you think that we would have saw the lack of effort from the defense this week like we did? For me, it was actually one of the last things on my mind. I thought they're going to keep us in this game. It was going to be another instance where we're on this postgame show and we're like, you know, if we would just have a freaking offense, maybe we can find some wins here. And I didn't really expect this kind of blowout and output from Green Bay. I can't remember the last time they put 40 plus on us. It's been a little while, and I don't like to remember, but I really thought with this Bears defense and how they've been playing, this is one of the last things I expected to see out of this game.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, especially because I think all year they've been obviously a very good unit. They obviously not as quite as good as, or not nearly as good as 2018. But then there's also the other side of the conversation here is like it was going to happen at some point, right? Like, and yeah. I think just with everything, all the variables, the Packers and primetime football, it's like, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense that they broke and just lost. I guess like effort, but the missed tackles and like Eddie Jackson getting fooled in the play action pass, giving up the touchdown to Tonyan, I think it was, and also missing a tackle. It's like these are also some of your big name guys that are like missing and whiffing on some of these plays here, and that's what's really you know, concerning and just I think disappointing to see. But yeah, it was good. It was bound to happen at some point. This team has never been able this season really to get after the quarterback, and we know the Packers always have a good offensive line and they're a smart team, like I was just saying earlier, so it was bound to happen, but I didn't think it would. That's why even in our predictions we had it closer. We didn't have the Packers scored 41, no way, but we knew they'd win, just not this convincingly and by dominating the Bears defense.
Again, from the very moment, it was just no reason. What I have in my notes while you're talking, I looked at it, was just no resistance. Every single drive until I quit taking notes halfway through the second quarter, just no resistance, no resistance, no resistance. Too wheezy, other words I see. And just those big, huge gains that they were able to get on the ground right up the gut. Very first drive, he had one for 8, 9, 14. And then I got discouraged, and I stopped even keeping track of some of those. But it seemed like all game long, when they needed a big run, or in general, when they would just hand it off, and it was between the tackles, primarily to the right side of the offense, where Keem Hicks would necessarily be, it was just so freaking easy for them to get a good head of steam before any contact. And unfortunately, they did a good job of taking Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan out of the plays, whether it be those cutback plays that they were running or just getting to the second level and washing them out, which we saw early on this season, which is a problem. And it's something that we haven't seen in a few weeks. And Nick, if you remember correctly, in a preview show, I gave the Bears run defense the edge, and I've been so hesitant over the last month to do so. And I thought they were starting to prove it a little bit, and I thought even without Akeem Hicks, they should be okay in this regard. And again, Nick, every time I give them a little bit of confidence and a little bit of a head nod, they destroy it so fast. And I think I can't be burned for the third time this season. I think I have to just be hesitant from this point forward.
Yeah, and it's tough, Will, because, look, obviously you're missing Akeem Hicks, but obviously for the whole season they've been missing Eddie Goldman and, you know, full strength. I don't think that this is the same result, but hey, it happened. The Packers dominated up front, and like that no resistance note that you had just while you were watching the game, like that's in my notes a bunch of times too. Like there's no resistance, there's no like they're just being pushed back, this defensive line, and once that happens, like you're automatically given yards right at the get-go. So yeah, it's not an ideal situation. And John Jenkins, Bilal Nichols, I'm sure they played as best they could, but they're just not the players that those other two guys that I mentioned really are and what they do for that position. So they were at a disadvantage, but we did expect better given how they played against two of the NFL's leading rushers and Dalvin Cook, you know, Henry, and did pretty good job against them, but didn't happen tonight.
Nope, did not have it. Another thing they did not have was the ability or the technique to tackle. Apparently, having a bye week. By the way, Matt Nagy, 0-3 in bye weeks now. So that's great. Well, after bye weeks, not in bye weeks. Although you can technically call last week. No, actually, the Bears did a pretty good job in the bye week. They got some good wins that helped them out around the league. But no, 0-3 after the bye week. But yeah, Nick, apparently this team, with that week off, completely forgot how to tackle. And I know you said you didn't think Eddie Jackson being away from the building all week was going to be a big factor, but I thought it showed that he wasn't in there and as involved throughout the game prep as he normally would be, just because he was out because he's on the COVID list.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to be – like, I almost tweeted this during the game, and I don't know why I didn't, because it's definitely true. Like, he – Eddie Jackson hasn't been the same since he got that contract extension. I'm going to be completely honest. Like, I know he doesn't get targeted as much and things of that nature, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he is that playmaker like he was in 2018. I think the stars just align to get us all sucked into the Bears and the hype and what this team could be, but – reality, it's nowhere as close as a lot of people predicted that this was a, you know, maybe a player away from being a championship caliber team. And like, you know, Ajax is still a fine safety, but like he out of position, missing on tackles, and you know, just given the mistakes he made tonight, that's not what the, you know, highest paid safety in the league he once was. Like, you shouldn't be doing that, even if your defense has been, you know, carrying this team, that shouldn't happen. But I just feel like ever since that contract extension, Eddie Jackson hasn't been that playmaker.
You know what? It would be an interesting column article research to look what he was doing before and after, and see if you can find any correlation there. Just to put that on you,
just Nick, to back it up.
Think about. Yeah, just something to think about. Honestly, as we go through it. But yeah, that's interesting, and it's, you said it right. We all got sucked into the hype. Now 2018, I mean, that got all of our hopes up. Starting 2019, of course, and even this year, we're like, what are we a quarterback away? And then or a kicker? Oh, it was a kicker, and then it was a quarterback, and now it's like a quarterback, a couple tackles, another running back to add in this rotation, probably another receiver, definitely a tight end still. You're looking at a pass rush that we can't really find right now. You have an aging inside linebacker you need to replace in Danny Trevathan. Your corners, you need a nickel corner that can play like Bryce Callahan. What a tremendous value he was to this defense, and I miss him so much. And then still, Tashaun Gibson, we don't talk about him on this podcast, which – isn't a bad thing, but it's not a good thing at all either. So the list, Nick. Oh, and probably another. Well, if Cohen gets healthy, a punt return is okay. But yeah, just the list just grew so fast and so vastly. It just shows how quickly, you know, the NFL, not for long. Yet it definitely shows right now with this team. Is there anything else about this game specifically that you wanted to mention, Nick? I don't have much on my list, and you know, if we don't need to talk about this game anymore, I would love to find a way to forget about it.
No, I agree with you, Will. I think this game just showed the disparity between the Green Bay Packers and literally everyone else in the NFC North. So, yeah, they're far and above, like I said earlier in the podcast, the best team in this division, and they'll remain that way as long as number 12 and whoever else is playing quarterback, it seems like it remains there. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. I think that's fair. Looking big picture real quick as we kind of just – maybe wrap things up here a little sooner. It is 12:15 in the morning my time, and I had a few days off for the holiday, so I'm sure I'm going to really love waking up early on a short night's sleep, getting back to my Mondays. But, Nick, if they blow it up, and again, it's still an if. Ideally, they probably do at this point. As a Bears fan, and now you have to kind of look at your projections and move them down the line, and heck, you don't even know when things can even be relatively good again. Does that excite you at this stage, or where's your mindset at? Because for me, I'm still at the heartbroken disappointment stage where it's like, I thought we had something here that we could actually make a serious run. Not again, 2018 got our hopes up, last year we knew, and then hopefully this year we're going to at least make a push. And then with the 5-1 start, you're like, you know, maybe they can be a team that should give you some hope. And now it's kind of been all ripped away from me. So as exciting or as much as I do think big changes need, it just is disappointing to know, like, now we're tacking on an extra few years before relevancy can even be potentially considered again.
Yeah, well, I don't know if excitement's the right word, because the Bears can easily get it all wrong again. And we can go through the same process. We're rebuilding, right? Getting pieces where, and all the pieces you mentioned, let's say the Bears start building it up, but they just have the wrong people in place, or they draft the pieces, but the players aren't who they thought they were going to be, similar to what happened in this rebuild, right? So it's just something that needs to happen. I wouldn't say I'm very excited about it, because I just don't trust the Bears to honestly make the right decision. Yep. And that's what's so scary about the future of this team. Like, I say, yes, change needs to happen. You can get rid of your coach, GM, and start trading away players. And maybe you're starting to regroup and get that team that you want, but it doesn't guarantee that it's all going to work out. And that's such the scary thing in all this. And, Will, look, I love talking Bears football with you, but my goodness, we got to talk about Detroit Lions-esque seasons, like where they're winning three games or stuff like that. That's a jab at Lions fans again. Like, that's just going to get depressing, like it is being a Lions fan. But that's where I think this can get, again, back to a place where we're at right now, where it's dreadful talking about the Bears. So exciting is not the right word. It's just something that needs to happen, and we'll have to wait and see what the results end up being, because the Bears haven't showed us since they've won a Super Bowl in 1985 that they can actually get things right.
Yeah, and again, that's the risk, reward, the gamble that you take each and every time that you try to rebuild or retool, and you do blow it up. You start tanking. I don't think you're going to tank per se, but if you do start trading away assets and moving around cap space and changing leadership, it is a risk. It doesn't mean it will be better. You give the hope, though, and that's how you can sell tickets and merchandise and make money. We understand how the game works off the field as much as it does on the field. But yeah, Nick, sometimes it does have to get darker before it gets better. And like you, if we have to go back to some of those 2016, 2015, 2017 types of Bears seasons where we're on here talking only about three wins, it's going to be some long years yet again. I'm sure my hair will be completely gray by the time we have to get back to a winning season, if that's the case. But since we're unofficially in the fourth quarter of this postgame show, I don't want to do a quick hit on special teams. I don't think I want to call an audible besides maybe starting the game. MVB, are we just going to do a quick consensus David Montgomery?
I think that's about right. No one on the defense deserves it, and Dave Montgomery's the best player for the Bears today.
All right. Quick, simple, easy enough. Any final words? I'm not even going to do a two-minute warning. I don't think I want to put the time there on the clock. I don't want to find how to fill 2 minutes of air. So any just final thoughts, and we'll wrap it up. And what are you going to ask the Magic 8-Ball?
A simple question. Will the Bears win another game this season? Will they? And here's who they got on the schedule, you guys. After this Green Bay game, they have the Lions. They probably could get a win there. Lions, Texans, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Packers.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Before you do that, if they don't fire anyone here soon, again, after you lose to a divisional, your bitter rival, the way they did, knowing the Bears, they won't do it this early in the season, but how they gave up against Green Bay, the Packers, and how they've this whole season's kind of gone, maybe it's warranted. Would Mike Glennon beating us with Jacksonville be enough to put the nail in Ryan Pace's coffin if that ends up being the case?
If that happens, Will, if Mike Glennon, is that at home too? At Jacksonville, it doesn't matter. But if Mike Glennon beats this Bears team, they just need to fire somebody before like the final whistle blows, before we even go live, like fired. Somebody needs to go. If it doesn't happen sooner. Again, that is in week 16. They still have the Lions, Texans, and Minnesota Vikings. It can go haywire with how this Bears team is playing. But, yeah, a Mike Glennon victory over the Bears, you clean house. Dumpster fire, just clean everybody out. But let's see. Concentrate and ask again. God, I've asked it twice already, and it said it's hazy. We don't know. So they don't know. So it's probably – oh, here we go. Here we go. Wait, would I ask him, will the Bears win another game this season?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely. Okay, they had the Lions. Yeah, I get it. But most likely. But it was hazy. There were two responses where I didn't know. So it's going to come down to a fourth quarter game like it always has been, Will.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, though, Nick, the full circleness, though, if they do lose to Mike Glennon, just showing like how everything comes back. And how it can end the same way it almost kind of began. Not for, of course, with, yeah, no, it would be, that would be so sad, but almost hilarious to actually have that be reality. And not that I want to see it, but if it would be an interesting postgame show if that actually ended up being the case. He actually may end up being the MVP if he can get someone fired. And heck, Mike Glennon has probably always wanted to be an MVP in our podcast and just could never get it done when he was here. But all right, Nick, so no more anything from you. Going to zip, and we're going to just call this a podcast.
Let's call it a podcast, Will.
You want to let people know, though, if they feel bad for us staying up late talking about this game, how they can help support us and our efforts, put a smile on our face this week, and get a shout-out in our preview pod coming up in a few days?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I saw some donations come in the chat, and we'll definitely address that in the preview podcast. But thank
one
you
was
to everybody.
From Don Burr.
I did see that. And Don, I know I was giving you some slack, but I do appreciate that. And, you know, I guess all in love. But if you want to get a shout out on the next podcast and help us, you know, just keep this thing running while everything is going drastically downhill, here's how you can make that happen. On Venmo or PayPal, you can send us a donation, and if you do that, you'll get a shout out on the next podcast. At Venmo, you can send us a donation at the Chicago Audible, should see my name and the Chicago Audible logo. And on PayPal, it's www.chicagoaudible.com/paypal. again, Venmo at the Chicago Audible, PayPal's www.chicagoaudible.com/paypal.
Awesome stuff there. Yes, definitely help us out. I have a shout out that came from PayPal. I love to do more if we can here within a few days. And again, it helps us keep it running. And through these dark times, it would definitely help some motivation to kind of keep things running per usual as we kind of limp our way probably towards the end of this season. And hopefully the offseason gets us plenty to talk about. But I want to thank you if you're listening here on YouTube, Periscope, Facebook Live. I know it's late, early. It depends on where you are in the world. I know we have a global audience, but no matter what time it is, where you're at, thank you so much for watching live. If you're listening to the podcast here after the fact, thank you as well. Again, it doesn't matter where you are, how you consume our show. Nick and I really do appreciate the time that you took to give us some of your day. And of course, listen to us talk about the Bears. And like you, we all wish it was a little bit better right now. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. That way we can reach more Bears fans just like you. Up next, I know Don Burr is excited because it is Lions week. They are without Matt Patricia because, he's gone. So we'll talk about the impact of that and everything that comes after. Nick, quick spoiler alert, I hate playing teams with interim head coaches because they always tend to play a little bit better somehow. And we'll talk about how that will shake out here in just a few days. Something for everyone to stew on, I guess, that is not a Chicago Bears loss, because I'm sure we're all stewing on that right now. Or if you're listening to the next day and you still are, take a breath and we'll all move on together, I promise. But we'll talk to you here soon as we get back to our game week preparations for the Detroit Lions. But until then, bear down, Chicago. Bear down, Chicago Bears.